Welcome to Relationships Unraveled. I'm Miranda, and I am here to help you unravel your relationships and live the life you were created for. Together, we are going to learn and grow in how to navigate the many relationships that make up our lives. We're going to do this by having conversations that go below the surface. So, let's shock the norm. Let's try something different and start discovering the next step forward as we talk through life together. God created us for relationships, so it's no surprise that we learn best how to navigate them together. Hi, y'all. Welcome to the Relationships Unraveled podcast. I'm glad you're here, and I want to ask you a question. Do you remember as a kid those little finger puzzles where you get this little, it's almost like a basket type material woven together, and it has two holes on each end, and it's a little skinnier in the middle, and it's a little fatter on the ends, and you stick your two pointer fingers in each end, and whoever gives you the finger puzzle says, I want you to put your fingers in here, and then I want you to try and get them out. And you put them in there, and you immediately feel, you know, confined, right? Your fingers are in these two holes, and you start to pull. Because how else would you get your fingers out, right? You pull. But the tighter that you pull, more tension you put on the finger puzzle, the tighter that it grips your fingers. And so for a minute, you're kind of panicked. Like, I got to get my fingers out of here, because it's almost like this claustrophobic feeling, right? Like, you don't want your fingers in there anymore because now you feel trapped in there and you want them out. And so you pull and you pull and you create more tension by pulling so hard, because the way that it's designed to get tighter as you pull. So then you gather yourself for a minute, because at this point, you're basically in survival mode as a kid because you want your fingers out so bad. You're like, okay, I got to figure this out. And so you relax. And as you relax, you realize, okay, when I stop pulling, I actually feel a little bit better. It's a little more calm. They're a little bit looser. And as you think about that, you kind of hold it a little lighter in your fingers, and you just kind of pull your fingers back together in the center a little bit as far as you can. And as you do that, you're like, oh, okay, good. It's loosening. And then you can just kind of just softly wiggle your fingers right out. No problem. But you go through that like panic and that pulling, and you just pull that tension as tight as you can because you're desperate for certainty. Like, I want my fingers to get out of here. But then you realize, like, this isn't working, and you relax a little bit, and you can figure out a way to get them out by relaxing and holding that tension loosely. That's how you get your fingers out. I loved those when I was a kid. And even though you know how they work after that first time you use one, it's still, you know, tempting to want to try to hurry and pull your fingers out before it can tighten around them. But it just doesn't work like that. It always tightens. And so I think of that. That's the image that comes to my mind when I think of what we call holding the tension. The tighter you pull, more tension that's created. The looser you hold it, the easier it is to move around and move forward. Okay. And so I want to stick with this image now that you have this image in your mind of this finger puzzle that I'm sure you've all at least seen, if not done it yourself. But now that you have that image, I want you to keep that in your head as we talk today and unravel this idea of holding the tension. This idea was originally introduced to me a couple years ago. So when I went to school, I'm in seminary at Wheaton College getting a master's, and my first class in school was over the gospel. So the good news of Jesus, right? And so I go to class and we go for our week, and I'm reading all these books and I'm freaking out, okay? Because we're learning the entire story, which is called the meta-narrative. It's called the whole story of the Bible. God's whole story is called the meta-narrative. And so we're learning this whole story. It's changing my whole perspective on my faith and how we present the gospel. I mean, it's changing everything. So I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're getting it wrong. You know, when we go to church, we're just offering it as this little, hey, pray the prayer, get saved, and keep going. And I'm like, but there's so much more to it that we're not telling people, that changes the way that you see God, and that your whole faith has changed. And I'm freaking out. Well, I wasn't the only one. A lot of the other women were too in the cohort. And our professor said something one day that was so helpful, because we were like, what are we going to do? You know, we got to get the story straight. People are missing out. And he said to us, it's not wrong. Like the way that we're doing it in church and things like that, it's not wrong. It's just incomplete. And that brought me so much peace in that moment of like, okay, you're right. We're not getting it all wrong. That's not it at all. It's just incomplete, as most things are, right? It's very hard to get the full completeness of everything all the time. But it doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean it's wrong. And so he called this holding the tension. Since we've talked about that so much in that first class, I've heard the phrase used so many times at school. I'm kind of not hearing the words hold the tension, but I'm seeing it represented in so many books I'm reading. It's like now it just, I can't get it out of my mind and I'm seeing it everywhere. And so I want to unravel with you all today, what does it mean to hold the tension? Because we live in a world of extremes, right? And holding the tension is very opposite of running to an extreme. And so I would say for my finger puzzle, holding the tension well was when, you know, you loosened your grip and you relaxed. You're like, okay. And then you just kind of slowly wiggled out your finger with a loose grip. But running to extremes was freaking out, panicking, just desperate for certainty that you could get yourself out of this puzzle and pulling as hard as you could. And then the tension being so tight that you made zero progress. You just got stuck. And so I think this carries over very well into the point that I want to talk about today. And the unraveling of this idea is that when we live in extremes, we make no progress. And when we learn to hold tensions loosely, we can make progress. And I think this is a critical thing to understand, especially as believers, to be a good witness and to share our faith with other people in such a way that they actually are attracted to it. I think this is critical to learn. And so I love that this idea, and now I say it all the time because I see it everywhere I look. I love this quote by Anne Lamott. She says that the opposite of faith is not doubt, but the opposite of faith is certainty. And so we are always looking for certainty. That is our human nature, right? We need to be sure. And in our efforts to be sure, that is where all the tension is created. Okay. But if when we can practice our faith, then that's where we can hold things a little looser. And there's a lot more room for development and forward moving. And I can think of so many examples for this that it's hard to just come up with one, but we see this a lot. I mean, everywhere we look in parenting, we see it a whole lot in, you know, the world we live in today, politics. I mean, even when I think about parenting, we're so desperate for certainty in our parenting that if someone parents different than us, we have, like, if you think about two parents that parent differently on some, you know, social media or whatever it might be, they are pulling on that finger puzzle and no progress is being made. They're not learning from one another because they're not even hearing one another, right? Because they are both running to their extreme and they both already believe that their extreme is correct and they're desperately seeking for certainty around that. So they want to prove themselves right at all costs, right? And so that requires no faith. That requires no faith to think like, well, like maybe that mom's convicted of something different. Like maybe she is doing it different. Maybe neither one of us are wrong. Maybe we're just incomplete. Maybe we're parenting in an incomplete way, but we're all doing that, right? And so I want to introduce this topic and really start to soften ourselves up to this because this is ingrained in us, you guys. And this is going to be very difficult to practice. It's going to be difficult to admit. It's going to be difficult to believe this, okay? I want to put that out there up front because it is, like, this is a very hard concept in our humanity to learn. But I've seen it, especially in my parenting. Like, I used to freak out, right? Because I was fearful. I didn't have a lot of faith around my kids being okay. I wanted to be sure of that myself. My life justified that, so I was justified in that behavior, and I was not expressing my faith at that time in my life, but I was really certain that I needed to know things were going to be okay with my kids. And so I would look for that certainty everywhere I would go, and everything that they would do, I would freak out about it because I wanted to be sure that everything was okay. But what I learned was eventually, after years of practicing my faith around this and allowing God to really change my mindset about this in my heart, was that things are the way they are. Things are going to happen. Things have already happened usually. By the time we freak out, it's usually already happened. What good is going to come from running to an extreme and pulling tightly on the tension? Absolutely none. Absolutely none. What good could come from holding it loosely? Absolutely some. But this idea is so counterintuitive to the world that we live in that it's going to be so hard to think about this and go, okay, yeah, I see that. Okay. One story I can think of that, you know, kind of what it pops into my mind was a couple episodes ago, I had my dear friend Crystal Miller on to share her story about surviving a mass shooting in her high school when she was 16 years old. She was in the Columbine shooting. It was a beautiful episode. She told her story beautifully. And I got so much great feedback on that show because people were just in awe of, you know, her faith and how she has grown and learned since then and just how she shares. I mean, it was beautiful. But I had someone ask me when they heard I was going to, you know, I told them, I said, well, make sure you catch tomorrow's show because it's really beautiful. This is my friend. And I kind of summarized what it's going to be. And the very first question they asked me was, well, I mean, she survived a mass shooting. What does she think about the gun laws? And I just politely said, you know, I didn't ask her about that. I said, you know, that's a very important topic, but I feel like it's not really the purpose of my podcast. I really want to try to focus on unity and what brings humanity together, like things we all experience together. And I don't think I'm going to ask her that. I didn't ask her that question because as soon as we say that, like the show was so beautiful. I mean, we talked about things that are part of our reality. You know, we talked about how hard it is to face those fears as parents and the kids and all the emotional trauma and all the difficulties that we have with the living with this reality that we have to deal with this possibility of school shootings. And we talked about, man, that is hard. This is what we're dealing with. And we talked about it in such a way that united all of us. And we were all together in what we talked about, our emotions and our fears. And that united every person that listened to that podcast could somehow feel a part of our conversation. But do you know what would happen the second I were to ask about, well, how do you feel about that? A gun loss, you know, all of the unity that was created would have been lost in one question, because every single person listening would have totally just withdrawn back to their side, right? Their side on that. And then when she answered, you know, one side would have been real happy with her and one side would have immediately just said, well, I thought she had a good story, but that girl, you know, that is what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about. That's not holding the tension. Talking about how it affects all of us and how we're united in this problem, that holds the tension well. But running to extremes creates the tension that cannot be progressed. We cannot move forward. And so I want to give that as an example, not to talk about politics on my show, because that will not happen. But the example happens to be about politics. But I want to give that as an example to show there is a way to hold things loosely so that we don't create division. Because if we really want to make the progress that we say we want to make, and we should all be super excited about learning how to hold the tension loosely, because that's what's required. We've been trying to pull tightly on our extremes. It's very, very obvious it's not working. And that's not just politics. That's everybody. That's anybody who's different from you. Okay. That's your kids and your parenting. That's your marriage. That's your friends. That's any disagreement you have. I mean, pulling tightly on your extreme really doesn't work. And when you really unravel that even more, what's fascinating to me about the extremes is this. When you're pulling on your end of an extreme, right? You are very certain and justified that your extreme is correct. And the other person on the other side is just as justified and certain that their extreme is correct. Okay? That's what that is. So that means that aside from what you're pulling on, the issue, the idea, the disagreement, you as people, as humanity, as humans that are seeking certainty, are exactly the same. You're exactly the same. You're both unwilling to budge. You're both seeking certainty to a fault. You're both unwilling to learn from one another. You're both unwilling to listen. You're both unwilling to loosen your grip. Okay. You're exactly the same. So that person on the other end of that extreme that you despise so much or hate so much or think is so wrong, you're really not that much different than them in your human behavior. Yes, maybe the circumstances around what you stand on are different, but your human behavior is pretty much the same. And so we got to think about this. Okay, if it's not working, why not try something new? Why not try something new? And so we can learn how to hold this tension. But first, we have to understand that we're not holding it well. We have to admit that we're not holding it well. We have to find the areas where we're running to our extremes and pulling so tight that no progress can be made. And this is how we start, right? I mean, you got to think, my favorite passage from the Bible is from John chapter 4, when Jesus talks to the woman at the well, and it's a Samaritan woman, and he shouldn't be talking to her based on the culture at that time. And so he goes up to her, he waits for her, he starts up a conversation with her. He offers her, you know, he kind of meets her in her context. He offers her something beautiful. You know, he also with love calls out what she's doing with her life and then invites her into a better life. And it's just a beautiful interaction of amazingly holding the tension. Okay. It's amazing how well Jesus holds the tension. So Jesus is Jesus, and even he's not extreme about, you know, his own self, his own offer of salvation. He held the tension beautifully. I mean, if he was extreme, he would have walked up there and immediately been like, listen, lady, you ain't living right. You ain't doing the right thing. I'm going to offer you this. And if you don't take it and change your ways right now, this is it for you. Like, that ain't going to work. You know, that's not it. And so I think this concept of holding the tension can be learned if we study. If we study Jesus and who he was, he's the best example, but we can practice it in ways, you know, in our life. Like if your kid's already messed up, you know, if they've already messed up and done something wrong and they told you, like, yeah, you got to hold the tension of loving them, being there for them. Yeah, there's also going to be a consequence. That is practicing faith that, okay, I know God's got a plan for my child. This is not the end of the world. This is not the end of the road for them. They've messed up. I've messed up. I messed up more than this, and I'm okay. So they're going to be okay. I got to trust God with this child. But instead, we trade our faith for that need of certainty, and then we run to an extreme. And we say, why did you do this? What's wrong with you? You're grounded, you know? And the kid's sitting there thinking, well, I mean, do they even love me? Like, are they going to like, do they even want me around? Like, are they done with me? And that's not holding tension. That's running to an extreme. So holding tension is basically like a prerequisite to being unoffendable. If you can learn how to hold tension loosely, you're well on your way to being pretty hard to offend, because you can hold things loosely and not need that certainty and running to that extreme so quickly. And I'm not saying, like, I don't want you to hear me say that the things we're extreme about are not important. Okay. Yes, these things are important. Absolutely. But I'm saying that when we don't hold the tension around these things well, we just don't make any progress. That's what I'm saying. It's not that they're not important, but until you can learn to hold things loosely and listen to other people, even when you disagree with them, listen to your kid's perspective, even if you think they screwed up, learn something from them. Just be curious about what got them to the point they're at. Like, where are you coming from with this? You know, how did you come to this decision? But we need that certainty. We think that we need that certainty so much that we're willing to create that tension, and it's just not going to get us anywhere. So I really want to learn today, if I had to sum this up with a takeaway, it would be to open yourself up to reflecting on what this might mean for you. Maybe areas of your life that you don't hold things loosely, you hold things pretty tightly. And understanding that this is not failure, this is not you're wrong and you're bad, and you're what's wrong with the world. This is, those are areas that I could really increase my faith and not depend on my own certainty so much. Because the fact that I am creating so much tension and pulling so tightly on this end of this thing, I'm not doing anything. I'm only making matters worse. That's all it's doing. And so you can ask yourself, okay, when I walk away from this conversation, when this conversation is over, how is the condition of the relationship with the person that I walked away from? If the condition is well, you've probably held some tensions well. If there's division, you've held the tension too tightly. So I just want you to consider that maybe, just maybe, when you're in a finger puzzle, are you pulling so tight to find that certainty? Or are you relaxing and trusting that by holding things loosely, a way forward will bubble to the surface? That requires us to practice faith, that things will be okay, and that the looser we hold things, the more space there is for progress. And the tighter we pull on our extremes, there's really no room. There's no slack. There's no way to change anything or progress. And it's really, really hard. So find some things that you can reflect on, some areas that you stand real strong on. And again, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying practice holding it looser. Because I promise you, whatever you're holding tightly is where you're lacking some faith that God's already finished it all and it's done and he's in control. And where you can already hold things loosely, those things aren't requiring as much faith for you, or you've already let go of some of those things and you've built your faith around those things. But what you're holding to so tightly, one, it's exhausting. Two, it's hopeless to hold it tightly because that doesn't create any progress. And three, your need for certainty is trumping your faith. And so I want to challenge you to think about some things where you could say, okay, this is what I'm holding pretty tight. And then think about your responses to people. Like, is the level of tightness you're holding something affecting the way you treat someone? If the answer to that question is yes, I definitely want to challenge you to let loose. Let loose. If the way that you're holding something tightly is causing you to treat people differently, loosen that grip. You will feel better. You won't be so exhausted. You will have more peace. I love Corrie Ten Boom, and she has a quote that I absolutely love. It's a beautiful quote that goes perfectly with this topic. And she said, "Hold loosely to the things of this life so that if God requires them of you, it will be easier to let them go." And that is so beautiful. Because when we hold things tightly, the feeling of God having to pry them out of your clenched fists, I can tell you from my own experience, that is a painful, painful experience. And so I want nothing more than for God to always show me the things I'm holding too tightly so that I can learn and practice loosening my grip on those things. And so I want that for everybody too, because I've experienced the freedom that comes with letting loose. It's relaxing, and there's a peace about it that you just about can't really explain. And so this idea is big, and this idea is counterintuitive to the world we live in, big time. And this idea is going to sound real beautiful when it comes to some topics, and then it's going to sound flat out just stupid and dumb and wrong when it comes to other topics. But I would say, wherever you can see this idea of holding the tension loosely and you think it's beautiful, I think those are great. But what I would pay attention to are the areas that you apply this idea to and you think it's stupid and dumb. That probably means you're holding it real tight. That's why you don't like to apply this idea to it. So try to find the areas that this idea gets ugly. Okay. That's a good clue that might be a place that you can practice loosening your grip around. I want so badly for us all to develop and make progress in our relationships our relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves, and our relationship with others. I hope that by just thinking about this idea of holding tension loosely, you can begin to process and reflect and practice new things, as tiny as they may be. The biggest thing I hope is that you would be willing to open up your mind and open up your heart to the idea that possibly, just possibly, by holding the tension so tightly, all we're doing is making sure that no progress is made in that area. And so loosening your grip might sound totally counterintuitive, but that's pretty much the whole idea of our faith. It's all counterintuitive. And so just try it, you know, step out and try it and see if the outcome changes. And I would almost bet you it will. At least that was my experience and this experience of so many people that I know. So hold the tension, guys. Hold it loosely. Make some progress. And just explore this idea. Just start. And maybe you're starting with even considering that I am not crazy. Okay. Maybe that's the start. And that's cool. But I love this idea. This is probably one of my favorite ideas to hold and to look for in the world. And so I value it a whole lot. And I hope that it sparks something in you as well. So thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you come back next week. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of the Relationships Unraveled podcast. If you love the episode, please share it on social media and be sure to tag me. Find me at Miranda Kirk and let's continue the conversation. I hope you'll tune in again next week.